Thank you, Dustin. Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. You may be wondering, why is all that stuff spread out on the stage and on the floor? It's because our choir cantata is tonight. Dustin asked me if we should put it up for this morning. I was like, no, it'll remind everybody that choir cantata is tonight. So be here tonight, 6 o'clock. Our choir has been working incredibly hard to present the gospel through song, to lead us in worship of our God through song tonight, and it's happening tonight at 6 o'clock. So two things I want you to do. One is be here at 6 o'clock tonight, and two is invite somebody to come with you, to be here with you at 6 o'clock. So can you do that? Yeah, you can. All right, turn with me in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. Listen, we find ourselves in the middle of December, busy December, and we are finishing up the book of Philippians, and as we do, we are coming to the end of a letter that is about the gospel going deeper into our own hearts, the gospel going further into the world to people who have yet to hear the gospel. Galatians 4:4-5 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." That's a beautiful passage that points us directly to the gospel. The idea that we were once enemies of God, rebelling against God, hopeless apart from God. Ephesians tells us we were dead in our sins. But God, at the fullness of time, at just the right time, sent forth his Son. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The good news of Jesus Christ is massive. And when people are awaiting rescue, they don't just celebrate when the rescue is accomplished. They celebrate when the rescuer shows up. And that's what Christmas is about. This morning, we are going to look at the end of the book of Philippians, and it is wrapping up a letter to a church who has supported the writer of this letter, Paul, who was a missionary and finds himself in jail in Rome. And he's thanking the church for their support of him so that he can take the gospel further. And you may say, why are we looking at this passage in the midst of Christmas? It's because of this. We get to celebrate Christmas because we know about it. We know that God sent forth his Son, but not everybody does. We sing "Go Tell It on the Mountain" in the midst of Christmas because we really do want people to hear that have never heard. So we find ourselves at a passage that is filled with love and thanksgiving from a missionary to a church who supported him. They were praying for Paul. We see that in chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says this to the church at Philippi. He says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." They were giving to Paul. Chapter 4, verse 15 says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only." So they were praying and they were giving. But not only that, they were sending people to Paul. They were going to Paul. Verse 18 of chapter 4, it says, "I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent." So this church was praying for Paul, giving to Paul, and going to Paul, their missionary. And we find that theme running throughout this passage this morning. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for sending him forth at just the right time. Thank you for sending him to put on flesh so that he could live for us and die for us and be our substitute there on the cross, taking our sin and our sin's punishment upon himself. Thank you. God, thank you that we have received this message. Thank you for the privilege and the responsibility of taking this message further. May you deepen our passion to see the gospel go further to those who have yet to hear it in our world this morning as we look at your word. May you deepen our thanksgiving for the body and the blood of Jesus this morning as we look at your word. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Follow along in your copy of God's word, chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. Again, this is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. He's wrapping it up as he encourages them. Verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now at length you have received your revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gifts, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So we see the church throughout this letter praying for Paul, giving to Paul, going to Paul. And we find three reasons that we as a local church should pray, give, and go to our missionaries. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. First, we see this. We pray, give as a local church. We pray, give, and go to our missionaries to encourage them and meet their needs. So that's what the church at Philippi has done for Paul. Look at verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. In other words, you had no opportunity to show it. They chose someone from amidst themselves, Epaphroditus. They sent Epaphroditus to Paul. Epaphroditus finally shows up with their gift to support Paul's ministry and just put food on his table as he's in jail in Rome. And Paul is rejoicing. He's encouraged at the fact that Philippi is simply concerned for him. It encourages him. Not only that, but they met his need. Look at verses 11 through 17. Paul says this, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be in content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So let's pause there for a second. This is a side note, and many of you, I'm sure, have heard preachers say this, but Paul's not talking about football right here. He's not applying Philippians 4:13 to a football game. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's talking about the mission of God. He's saying, I am here because God has sent me. And there are times when I find myself in abundance, having more than I need. But there are days and weeks and seasons that I have much less than I need. But I've learned to be content in the Lord. Whether I have much or I'm in need. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is not a verse that can be applied to anything we want to do. I want to make $1 million. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to win this game or that game, or I want to do this or that. This verse, Philippians 4:13, is about the advancement of the gospel and what God calls us to. So, mamas and daddies, Jesus is very clearly calling you to pour the gospel into your children, to raise them up to know him and to follow him and give their lives to him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Grandparents, you have different roles in the life of your grandchildren, but you're there to pour into them and be an influence in them in the same way. Neighbors, co-workers, we are sent out of this church building every week to be a light in the darkness, irregardless of how hard things get at work. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The list goes on and on and on, but it applies to the mission of God. Do you see that here? So Paul is in need. He has found himself in seasons of need. And look what he says. Verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs. Listen, missionaries have practical needs that they don't just pull things out of a hat. They are by design, by God's design, in need of the local church's support. And so we give, we pray, give, and go to our missionaries to encourage them, yes, but also just to meet practical needs. Look at Paul's, what he says in verse 14 before we go any further. He said, it was kind of you to share my trouble. You see, even though the Philippians couldn't be there physically with him, he felt their love for him. I hear so many of you so often say, I feel those prayers. I tell them I feel their prayers. I know they're praying for me. That's what Paul's saying here. It was kind of you to share in my trouble. And Paul is in trouble. He is in prison. He doesn't know whether he will live or die at the end of this situation. And he is thankful and encouraged by Philippi's sending him what he needs. He's encouraged and his needs are met. So last year, if you remember, I had the opportunity to go to Southeast Asia. You guys sent me over there with a small team of guys to go be with some of our missionaries over there. And before I left Cairo, I was asked to go by Walmart and get some things for one of our missionaries over there. And this particular missionary, his mode of transportation in a city that stays above 90 degrees year-round is a scooter. And he needed, the word, gold bond powder. That's what he needed. Just a practical need. Well, I can't pack Gold Bond in my suitcase in like a big Gold Bond bottle because they'll take it out. So I like go to Walmart and I just scoop it off the shelf, all the little tiny travel sizes. And I take it to him and he has like 37 small travel size Gold Bonds. He was so thankful for that. And it was just a practical need that he had. And some of their needs are small like that, but some of them are huge. Our missionaries sacrifice so much. They're not home for holidays. They don't get to spend Christmases with their families. They miss funerals a lot of times. It can be lonely and discouraging. And make no mistake, our missionaries need our support, financially and otherwise. They need us to pray, give, and go for them and to them so that they can stay on the front lines. You may say, well, I want my gift to be more significant than gold bond powder. Let me just say this and remind my own mind and heart of this. Like, if gold bond powder is what keeps our missionaries on the front line, then gold bond powder is what we send. It's whatever they need. And so that's what we do. We see it right here in Scripture. We pray, give, and go to our missionaries to encourage them and meet their needs. But not only that, we pray, give, and go to our missionaries to worship God. Look at verses 17 through 18. 17 through 18. It says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. So, in other words, as the church at Philippi prayed for Paul, gave to Paul, and went to Paul, the Lord was blessing them. The church at Philippi, he blessed them. Look at verse 18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Let's don't stop there in verse 18. Let's see how he describes those gifts. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Notice, when the church at Philippi prayed for Paul, gave to Paul, and went to Paul, it was an act of worship. Comparable to the sacrifices made in the Old Testament. A pleasing and acceptable offering to God Almighty. Esau, when we support our missionaries, however we support them, whether it's going to them and encouraging them or praying for them on a Wednesday night or during the week over our prayer list, or giving to them through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That is worship. So we pray, give, and go to our missionaries to worship God. And it doesn't stop there. You see, when we support our missionaries and they're encouraged, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where your needs have been met by other believers, but that fuels our worship. In other words, the person who receives a gift is fueled to worship. Our missionaries worship God as a result of our giving to them. And if they stay on the front lines, people who have never heard the gospel will wind up worshiping God as a result of our praying, giving, and going. So we pray, give, and go to our missionaries to worship God. Do you see it? Read verse 18 one more time. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So we pray, give, and go to encourage our missionaries, meet their needs, and to worship God. And finally, we pray, give, and go to our missionaries to advance the gospel. We finish where we started in this book. At the beginning of this book, this letter to the Philippians, we found that everything that Paul was about, everything that he wanted the church at Philippi to be about, was about advancing the gospel deeper and further. And what we find is when we pray, give, and go to our missionaries, part of that, if not the whole of it, is to see the gospel go further to people who have yet to hear the gospel. Look at verses 14 through 16. He's speaking of their partnership, their fellowship with him in the mission. Verse 14, it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Paul is doing something here. He's tracing his missionary journey from the time he was at Philippi all the way to where he is in Rome. He mentions Macedonia, which covers a huge area, and then he mentions Thessalonica. And in their minds, they would have been able to trace a timeline. Yes, I remember when Paul was there and there and there. And I remember when Paul got to Thessalonica, and I remember where he went after that, and I remember where he went before he wound up where he is now in Rome. And Paul is saying that you partnered with me through all of that, through your giving. You're praying, you're giving, and you're coming to me. You partnered with me. And the gospel is advanced through Macedonia to people who had never heard of Jesus. The gospel is advanced in Thessalonica to people who had never heard that the Son of God was sent forth for them. The gospel was advanced in Rome. You look at the last verses of this letter. Verse 22, he says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." The gospel is advanced even in Rome because of their support of missions and the missionary Paul. So we pray and we give and we go to missionaries to see the gospel go to people who have never heard. There's millions of people around the world who have never heard or understood that the Son of God was sent forth for them, that he put on flesh for them. They don't fully understand Christmas because they don't realize it is ultimately about God's love for them. That Christmas is about their rescuer showing up. And so we pray, give, and go, specifically to our Lottie Moon offering. Our goal this year is $13,000. Not because we've set a goal, but because we want to see the gospel go further. Not because it's cool to have connections around the world, but because we want to see the gospel go further. Not because we're just supposed to pray, give, and go, but because we actually believe the gospel, that God did actually send forth his perfect Son who put on flesh, who humbled himself, making himself our servant to the point of death, even death on a cross, becoming our substitute. That we actually believe he is the only way. We actually believe that those who die apart from him will spend an eternity in hell. And so we pray, give, and go to our missionaries so the gospel goes further and that it is advanced day after day, month after month, season after season, and year after year. Which brings us to where we are today. We are one Sunday away from celebrating the birth of our Savior. Fact that he came, he showed up for us. And the reason his showing up is such a big deal is because of what he did for us. He died on the cross for us. He gave up his body and he poured out his blood for us. So today, as we close the book of Philippians and we look forward to celebrating the coming of our Savior, today we will celebrate communion. And we'll remember what Jesus did. The purpose of his coming was to live and die for us. To give up his body and pour out his blood for us. So I'm going to ask Miss Karen to come and play. And I just want to encourage you to take a couple of minutes. If you're here and you have a relationship with Jesus today, I want to encourage you just to search your heart. Confess any sin that needs to be confessed before we take the Lord's Supper. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to stoke the fire in your heart to see the gospel go further. Maybe you're really not that concerned about it. Maybe you need to be more concerned about it. So ask the Lord for that. And as you do, just worship him. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you can come to him right now in your pew as a beggar and ask the Lord to save you. That's what he came for. So I'm going to pray. Miss Karen will play. And I just encourage you to take the next couple of minutes to do that. Father, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that we have heard the gospel. We thank you that because we have heard the gospel, we have believed. And because we have believed, we can celebrate the Lord's Supper today, remembering what you did for us on the cross, your broken body and your poured out blood on our behalf. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts. And I pray that you would draw the unbeliever to yourself today. And I pray all of these things in the wonderful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.